This is CBS Eye on the World with Professor Richard Epstein, a senior fellow of the Hoover Institution, teaches law at NYU and the University of Chicago. The editorial page of the Wall Street Journal makes it very clear that there's a debt deal. However, the headline is ironic. A Republican reality check on McCarthy, that would be the speaker, on McCarthy's debt ceiling deal. The speaker isn't the obstacle to more GOP victories. Joe Biden and Chuck Schumer are. Professor, your thoughts about this deal, which will be revisited in 2 years for the new term of the new president or the reelected president. My measure, having read about it for weeks now, is that it does not confront the problem, which is entitlements. Is that acceptable to avoid the problem itself and call it a deal?
Well, look, I'm not happy about the deal in terms of its substantive terms. But I think what one has to do is to understand the position that you have. You're negotiating under a very strong default threat. It may not have been June 1st. It may have been a little bit later, whatever it is. It turns out you don't have a unified party behind you. There are some people who think you're hopelessly too far to the left and they're in the Freedom Caucus. On the other hand, you have Democrats to the other side who are themselves divided, many of whom want the Biden deal, which is what we do is we get rid of the debt limitations altogether. And then what we negotiate is debt reduction in the following form. First, what we do is we basically pass a bunch of new entitlements that cost us, say, $100 billion. And then we impose taxes of $110 billion and call this a $10 billion debt reduction deal. And so what McCarthy had to do is to think of this not as the answer, but as round one in the debate. And what I think he did was pretty good. He got a series of concessions that were actually somewhat larger than I thought he'd be able to steward. And what you have to do is to ask how far has he had to move relative to what he wants as compared to what Joe Biden did. And he had to basically get off of this I refuse to deal situation. And then they created a deal which gave him much of what he wanted, but was probably, I think, in terms of if you looked at the betting odds, that you would have this deal as opposed to one which is more favorable to the president, McCarthy won it. So why is it important that he did this? Because when he gets into the next election, and I think he will be returned as Speaker of the House, it's going to be a different world. If it turns out that he's the Speaker of the House and Biden is still president and the Senate is still Democratic, he's not going to have the political tools to do much more. And so we'll see slow incremental stuff. And as you pointed, we'll have to face a huge crisis 5 or 10 years down the road with Social Security, Medicare, and everything else. But if he manages to get the Senate, even if he doesn't get the presidency, and it's likely he would, just imagine what happens. You get a decent Republican president, say somebody like Ron DeSantis or Nikki Haley, doesn't matter what's for these purposes. You get modest but clear Republican control in both the Senate and the House, and they start going to work. It's not going to be incrementalism in this particular situation. There are going to be massive changes in the entire structure of the regulatory state and the entire fiscal constitution of the United States. And so what you have to do is to sort of figure out if he manages to keep control, gain enough public approval out of this particular maneuver that he gets the Republicans in control, this is going to be a much more unified party. And there's going to be a situation in which moderate Democrats will know they will oppose this vehemently at their peril. And so you'll start to see the end of lots of things that we really don't like, including the ESG movement, which is already, I think, in some kind of retreat, the DEI movement and the way in which everything's going with diversity and so forth, deregulation, transformation of labor law, transformation of securities law, transformation of insurance law, transformation of bankruptcy law, transformation of the judicial courts. There will be a very profound realignment of this thing. And so what the biggest problem now is we have a president who can't stand up. We have a former president who can't think. And if those two guys are running for president, this entire nation is vast more peril. If you get a next generation confrontation, of people in their 40s and 50s, say DeSantis against Gavin Newsom. My view is that DeSantis will win this one fairly substantially because California is bleeding people and talent, and that's not the case with respect to Florida. And at which point you will see the nation, which is moving steadily to the right, will in fact have a real discontinuous change from whatever went on in the Biden administration, which I regard on every single substantive issue as a holy horror in the way in which it's managed to conduct itself.
Professor, we have 2 minutes, and this is from the editorial, the critics of the bill from the Republican side, and their criticism has merit. They say the bill doesn't reduce the current federal debt, doesn't cut enough spending, doesn't repeal green subsidies. It is difficult to accept this as a success.
I think every one of their demands is perfectly reasonable, but the politics is the art of the possible. And if McCarthy wants to put that position on there, he will be seen as the spoilsport. The Freedom Caucus, however sound it may be as a matter of principle, will be regarded as spoilers, and the Republicans will lose control of both houses.
That is right now with Joe Biden, but those are good ambitions for...
Well, that's what I said. I said, if you get control, having done this deal, a lot of what the people on the other side say is exactly right. I mean, I am not a big government guy, to put it mildly.
I think they're Democratic votes for much of that, the same material. They do exist.
I agree. I mean, the real question is, do you treat this as stage one, or do you treat it as the ultimate situation? It is not acceptable as a long-term situation, utterly unacceptable. But the alternative is to get no deal, to have the default, to get no reform, and to probably lose the next election. So what happens is politics is the art of compromise. And it turns out that in order to have a compromise, you have to do something you don't like. Years ago, when I was a young man, a great lawyer named Hermione Brown told me
30 seconds, Professor.
That's all I need for this. She says, you always know a good deal when you're putting something together when everybody's happy. And you always know a good settlement when everybody's sad. And we have a sad settlement in this case, which means it's a good settlement. Best that you could get under these circumstances. McCarthy is, to my mind, something of a hero. And I think he fully understands how what he did not get. This is not a guy who believes in the status quo. This is a guy who believed that he could not get anything more than what he got at the time. And for that, I think he made the right political judgment.
Professor Richard Epstein, senior fellow of the Hoover Institution, teaches law at NYU and the University of Chicago.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,